Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio people out there, God knows I love y'all. I'd like to say before we go back to our two wonderful guests, I would like to also thank our donors again. I can't thank you people enough. I had a list here of all the people that donated just to get me down to Pensacola, Florida. I was so impressed. You know, I didn't think I'd be able to go until, well, a couple of weeks out. The money started coming in, and you know what? I had to finance very little of that trip. I thank you people so much. I'm not going to lie. I didn't have to finance much of it, near as much as I thought. I went down there like a Spartan, on a Spartan routine, I know y'all are going to laugh. Everybody's mama knows that I train for marathons year round. What I lived on mostly was skim milk, raw eggs, tuna fish, oatmeal, and some fruit. And I ate two meals, the whole time there back. But that wasn't because I didn't have the money. It's because and I ran every day when I was down there. I got up before the festivities and I did my running. But people, who are the great guests we have on the night? The same great guest that Sam just said during the break that this is great radio. So our two guests are really knocking it out of the park. And our two guests are General, in case you're just tuning in. It's my wonderful friend, my dear friend, my brother. I would march. The general told me to march. If you can consider it a done deal, I would march. That man, I trust that he's one of the few people I trust. Another guest we have on the night, in case you're just tuning in, the young Mr. Jason Robb, the attorney of Western Arkansas. He's attorney for the Knights Council of the Klan in Western Arkansas, which I'll be there, God willing, the first week, Labor Day weekend. I'll be up there, and we're trying to get Fred Lutcher, who's been out. He wants to come. Monica Schaefer wants to come. Jürgen Neumann, right hand. He was Ernst Sundell's right hand man. He did the movies. It took shorthand anything he needed. Also, Jim Rizzoli wants to come. I don't know how many will be able to come because Monica might not be able to get out of Canada. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But as soon as we find out they're coming, we got to get that out there so we can plug it. But anyway, people. We're going back to the guests right now, and the general was talking when we had to go to the break, so we're going to go right back to the general. I have a few questions, but before I do, I'll let Jason go after the general gets through. Go ahead, General.
Well, yeah, I think we left off. I believe you talked about the destruction of the educational system, and I think, Eddie, that your program is so important because we live in an age where people no longer produce or create their own opinions. People reproduce opinions that they see in the media or presented in the media. And the media decides what's fit enough to print, and we know who controls the media. So I think getting the truth out, getting people to think objectively, to research, it's very important. And I think that just because you've introduced people to authors like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I mentioned also on the previous program this Frank Decoder who wrote three books about the destruction of Chinese culture and the mass murder that was inflicted by the Communist Party in China, which is still in power. And the new guys, people want to, when they read material like this, they will understand the danger, because you yourself, being a soldier, know that the first paragraph of the operational order is friendly and enemy in courses of action. So unless we know the enemy and his tactics, we cannot fight.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, that great, what was the Chinese, Sutzen? I can't pronounce his name. I'm great. He's one of the earlier ones.
Yard of
Go
War.
Ahead, General.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He said you have to know your enemy.
Know the enemy, yeah.
Go ahead, Jason.
Well, General, you had mentioned a couple of times about the Frankfurt ideology, and maybe people, Eddie, you know, you've talked about that, but you know, a lot of people may be kind of wondering about the Frankfurt School and kind of be wondering, well, what's the Frankfurt School? And General, are you able to explain a little bit more about the Frankfurt School and the ideology behind that? Because I think a lot of people may not be understanding that.
Sure. Sorry to cut you off, but I'll try. Basically, when the Bolshevik Satanists destroyed Russia and they tried to move west, we had a Bolshevik Jewish individual called Rosa Luxemburg. She went to Germany to raise a communist revolution in Germany, Rosa Luxemburg. She was killed by the Freikorps Corps of German patriots. We had Bela Kuhn, also who is of Jewish descent. He came from the Soviet Union. He tried to start a revolution in Hungary. He was done in. He fled to the Soviet Union. They tried to invade Poland, the Red Army. When they saw that they could not militarily conquer the West, they formed a group called the... they moved to Frankfurt later, and they were kicked out of Germany in the 1930s. But basically, there were Marxist intellectuals and Marxist ideologues. They formed an institution which we call the Frankfurt School, whose basic mission was, in their own words, we will so destroy the West from the inside that it will stink, that it will rot from the inside. So we see this today, this Trojan horse crossed the Atlantic, embedded itself in not just European educational institutions, but in the West. So the outcome of this was people like Adorno, Marcuse, they started this. Saul Alinsky was also a person that wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. His tactics and his book for mounting a social revolution is being carried out in the streets of the United States to this day. So this is this Trojan horse, this cultural Marxism that's been embedded in Western cultural, educational, and institutions. I don't know if I've explained this well enough, but you can find this on the internet. But you won't find it in Wikipedia, because Wikipedia has 70,000 editors, and they delete. Plus, you won't find objective historians in the West. You won't find a lot of them, because if you want to study history, first study the historian. Look at the footnotes of a book and his bibliography. We have, for example, Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, 200 Years Together, which talks about the Russian-Jewish relationship over the last few centuries. It's basically been banned in the West. I don't think it's been translated.
Wow.
You know, Jim, Eddie,
if you don't mind. Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people, you know, truly understand that, you know, this cultural fight we've been involved in has been going on that long. Obviously, probably a lot longer than that, obviously. But, you know, the Frankfurt School, the design to destroy Western civilization from the inside. And I don't think people really truly understand that this is an evil design by your Jewish Marxist intellectuals that has perpetrated into your universities, your colleges, your schools. We start seeing that now, even in the military now, where they're infiltrating in the military, from higher up, this whole critical race theory. And I don't think people truly understand it. It's just not something that's coincidental. It's a actual design to destroy white Christian civilization. And I think people, hopefully people that's on this, you know, listening to the show, start looking into the Frankfurt School and really truly understand the design that that is orchestrated by the Marxist crowd.
Well, another, to just interject, another tool is modern. Another tool is modern art. If you look at the world today, destructive individualism. You see people tattooed, but if you read the Old Testament, Leviticus, the Old Testament forbids tattooing. We have T-shirts with obscene messages. Heads, people pierced from head to toe, piercings. We have these empty-headed celebrities. We have Hollywood hacks, actors, militant atheists who are now the oracles of the West. What has the world come to? So I think you are aware of Kevin MacDonald and his momentous works. He's a social anthropologist. I think he was also in Tennessee for that conference. I think Eddie knows him well.
Yes, sir. You know, y'all mentioned the Frankfurt School. Actually, Jason's right. It was here actually before that. The Frankfurt Schools had school rooms built for them, brand new schools for the Frankfurt School to take over when they arrived over here in the 30s. And if you just look at the Federal Reserve, it's true. You know, if you look at the Jewish Bolshevik cabal that took over the Federal Reserve in 1913, they actually had tried this. They first met in 1907, but it was people like Paul Warburg, who was an agent of the Bilderbergers in Europe. You heard people like J.T.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers. Yeah, they were all Adam Weishaupt. They had them all set, ready to go before they got here. People, we're coming to the end of our first break. At the second hour, we'll be right back with Red Hot Radio. Be right back.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
I'm a racist. You're a racist. Wouldn't you like to be a racist, too? Hey, me and Sam were singing that song during the break, man. But anyway, because everybody's a racist. If you're white, you're a racist. If you're white, you know, you are a part of a satanic group, and you're responsible for every single trouble in the whole world. And I would ask a question about if I run out of stuff to say, which probably is not true, probably won't happen. I would like to get on race a little bit later on. But anyway, go ahead. I forgot, y'all, my old age, who was speaking when we went to the break. Go back. Do you have any questions, Jason, for the general, for what he said last time?
The main thing was I wanted him to talk about the Frankfurt School, which he did, and I think that's just something I think people really need to look into a little bit more to, you know, understand a lot of the problems that we're having today, you know, about the actual design. I think sometimes people think that, oh, it's just kind of happening, you know, all this stuff is happening, that's going all around, it's just by coincidence, and they don't truly understand the behind the scenes that is being done to destroy our Western civilization. It's just not people saying, "Oh, we don't believe in Christ and our culture, so let's maybe change it better." There's an actual design. Now, obviously, we know it's from Satan himself and his minions, but I don't think people understand that here recently. You know, from the 1930s and even beyond that, we can go obviously in history and time. But even somewhat recently with the Frankfurt School, I don't think people truly understand that the design behind those Marxists in trying to subvert Christian civilization through the youth and the schools and the students, and like he was saying, the art as well. Everything they touch is to destroy, and so I think people need to really look into that more.
Yes, sir. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we had the Luciferian Bushaflex had a good toehold here in the United States before the Frankfurt School came over here, and they had a welcome, warm bed to grow, fertile ground to grow in and spread their filth. You know, General, the Frankfurt School, thanks to their teaching, our school the people that teach school, it's embedded everywhere. And you know what? Even if you go to a so-called Christian school here in the United States, my grandson went to a Baptist school and graduated. I used to have to deprogram him when he'd come home from school on a lot of things. But I consider, say I'm wrong, call me a Satanist or whatever, but I think the greatest enemy in the United States to Christian white people, especially white people, used to be a bulwark against evil, and that's the church. I think the church, the United States church, the way it stands, I mean all of them, there's hardly any exceptions. All of them have become an enemy to representative republic, an enemy to white people, an enemy to the churches, or an enemy to Christianity. Jason mentioned earlier, the general said that the Catholic Church in Canada, they're flying these godforsaken, these flags put out by these perverted freaks, you know, LGBT clan. So I think, just my opinion, General, I think the church is going to have to be dismantled, taken over, and we're going to have to run this Satan out of these churches. What do you think about that, General? Am I too far off base? Yeah.
No. I mentioned I have friends in Canada, and people are taking kids out of schools, as I said before, homeschooling, and they're flying the rainbow flag on Catholic Church. In Catholic churches in Canada, people, they're so cowed of saying anything, because for a joke or for a remark, for an offhand remark, you can lose your job, your future. I'll just give you an example of what this can lead to. We talked about communist China, where a son... you may find this on YouTube on the internet. A son snitched on his mother. She made a comment about Mao Zedong. On the basis of his treachery, his mother was murdered by the communist regime.
My God Almighty!
And so this is the result of this moral and cultural destruction that we can look to in the future. I mentioned Saul Alinsky, the Rules for Radicals. You had in America, I believe in the 1930s, Elizabeth Dodd, who was a member of the American Communist Party. She mentioned how communists had infiltrated the Catholic Church in the United States before congressional committee. Croatians are still, they're still traditional Catholics. You know, 700, 800 priests killed by the communists. What they did to them, they crucified them. Some were skinned alive. Even in the 1950s, 60s, they killed them with electric shocks. They were castrated. They were shooed like horses. In the Soviet Union, hundreds of thousands of priests and nuns were murdered by the communists. But this type of information is simply concealed by left-wing conspiracy of silence. This is not taught in schools. Stalin told Churchill he liquidated 20 million peasants during the 1930s. What do we know about this? We know nothing. But he even killed Muslims. He killed 3 million Muslims in the USSR. So not just Christians. So they called Stalin the killer of nations.
You know, General, you mentioned these children turning their parents in, that son turning his mother in China. I noticed, and I'm going to go back to Jason after this, I noticed that January 6th, we've had a peaceful protest. I know you're aware of it, and Jason, everyone listening to this radio show remembers the peaceful protest we had in Washington, D.C., because the people of the United States know for certain, even the Democrats know, that the election was stolen, flat out. And even the Democrats even brag about it. Some of them do. But, you know, a lot of those people, these children, the people that went there, have turned their parents in. This one girl had turned her dad in and said that she was so ashamed of him. He's 15 years old. He's fed her, clothed her, sent her to school. But you see scores of people being arrested because they've been ratted out. The FBI, my dad told me years ago, what he told me has come to fruition, that the FBI, most of them are so stupid, you know, they can't find their butt with both hands, but they always have somebody to rat them out. And the parents have spent millions of dollars sending their precious little darlings to these private schools, and yet the kids are coming out and turning their parents in. I think that's just sad. What are we going to do about that, fella?
Well, I'm going to give you an answer, but it's going to be hopefully a short answer. But during this break, I'm going to answer it. But during the break, I was looking at Isaiah 14:12. We're talking about the law. Isaiah 4:12 says, I'm going to read this real quick. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in mine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So basically what we have here is we have a war, a spiritual war, where Satan and his children, the children of darkness against the children of light, God's children, Christianity, our people, the white race. And what we have is we have now coming to the forefront of this moral depravity, Christianity not only being attacked but being substituted to this of this false Christianity. And this false Christianity is the concept that we are all the same, we are all one blood, that we are all the same people, and there is no distinctions, there is no separation, that we are of all one blood. And we are now seeing the result of that philosophy and that thought is now we believe, or now this concept of one blood, where all cultures, all white cultures, are no longer special, that we have nothing to give, we have nothing to provide to anybody else. And as a result of our people and our culture not being anything special that we believe we are, then we are now seeing it being attacked by Satan, by his followers, by the children of Satan. And in order for our people to rise up again, our people have to start loving their people. They have to start loving God and loving themselves. And we believe that the way to get back to that is back in Matthew, I believe, 33, Jesus is telling his people the two greatest commandments of all time, two greatest commandments is loving your God and loving your neighbor, which we believe are people. And so until we can love our God and love our people, that's when our people will start rising up again. And so that is what we need to do.
Excellent answer. Excellent answer. We've got to go to a break. We'll continue on with that. I want to comment on that as soon as we come back, and then we'll go to the general. Thank you so much, Jason. People are holding on to this great intellectual show.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson has agreed to a $230 million settlement with the state of New York in an opioid case, according to Attorney General Letitia James. The settlement resolves the state's claims over J&J's role in fueling the opioid epidemic. It also bars the companies from selling the painkillers nationwide. The company didn't admit any liability or wrongdoing in the settlement, but they told NBC News they're consistent with prior agreements to pay $5 billion to settle opioid claims by states, cities, counties, and tribal governments nationwide. The settlement money will be used for opioid prevention, treatment, and education statewide. James says she filed the lawsuit against five other manufacturers in addition to J&J in March, along with members of the Sackler family as owners of Purdue Pharma. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Workers are still sifting through the rubble after a high-rise building collapsed in Surfside, Florida, near Miami. 160 people are still unaccounted for. Family and friends wait nearby as crews search for survivors. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava says a review will be done on other buildings to avoid any future tragedies.
At the county level, I am directing that our Department of Regulatory and Economic Resources will immediately commence an audit of all of the buildings at the 40-year point and beyond. So we want to make sure that every building has completed their recertification process.
Investigators are looking at the wreckage carefully to determine the cause of the tragedy. Four people are confirmed dead. A study last year found that the ground under the tower sank at a faster rate than the neighboring towns. Sinkholes are common in Florida. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, dear people, we reached the halfway mark into the second hour. And Jason was talking about good versus evil, Satan versus Christianity. Basically, what we have, Jim Rosoli said that what we have, and I kind of agree, I go with Jim, we have a war between Judaism and Christianity. And Jason named the enemy. If you want us to know the enemy, we've named him 100 times on this show, if not 1,000 times. All you have to do is go to John, the Gospel of John 8:44, and Jesus Christ. These people, these bogus preachers that, depend on their money for their livelihood, they'd like to tickle the ears of their congregation. They'll tell you, oh, the Jews are the chosen people. Israel, if we have to sell our firstborn to get money for Israel, we'll gladly sell our firstborn. You know, that may be an oversimplification, but it's true. I guarantee double damn to you they would do it. But Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about the Jews. I'm not telling you what the Baptist preacher down the road said, or the Lutheran, or the Presbyterian, any of them. You go to any churches, they'll say they're the chosen people, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they say. Here's what Jesus said. And I'll paraphrase it. Jesus Christ looked them straight in the eye, and he told them that they were of their father, the devil, and the devil was a murderer and a liar in the beginning. They said, when he tells a lie, he tells it on his own, because he was the father of the lie. He was the first liar in the whole universe. And they said that these Jews would do, and he named the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, you know, they were all there. He said, you will do the lust of your father who came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's who they are. That's your enemy. Never, ever try to beat around the bush and sugarcoat it. Jim Rizzoli is right. It's an all-out war between Judaism and Christianity. And unfortunately, we have probably 70% of the so-called people who think they're Christians that will fight you to the death over a Jew or a black. And that, I'm telling you flat out, I've been around them all. I'm 74 years old. I've been around blacks all my life. I've seen some that are really nice. I've helped some. They have helped me. Would I trust them? No. I've been like 70 years old. I've seen some that I thought I could trust with my life, and I was very disappointed, lucky to be alive for it. Back to you, General.
Well, yeah, I think you've underlined, Jason, you've underlined the spiritual battle, the metaphysical battle, but the left, they're supreme emotional manipulators, and they will use any force, trickery, lies, whatever, to reach their goals. And we live in an age where people are convinced that basically nothing is evil. There's no absolute good, no absolute evil. And the lower the moral and intellectual level of society, such people, it appeals to people with low moral and intellectual capacity. So we see today we see the destruction of the individual, a systematic idiotization of people. We see modern art as one of the tools of cultural Marxism, but we have which propagates ugly and meaningless art. Look at some of the stuff you see today. You see in museums of modern art. When you look at the Renaissance, music, Caravaggio, the painter, Beethoven, Mozart, to be declared a master, you had to have a certificate from your guild that you were a master, whether it was art, woodwork, whatever. Now, you have people, excuse my, not to be crude on the program here, that masturbate in modern art museums, and this is considered art. So we see a destruction of the cultural and moral fabric of the West. And one of the tools of cultural Marxism is modern art.
I didn't know that, but maybe Jason. Did you know about that, Jason?
I did. I know, for example, that I know they've had like this modern art where they have had I know there was one several years ago in Washington, D.C., where they had a picture of Jesus Christ, and he was sitting in increments of urine, and I'm just the total debauchery of our faith, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what they think of him, Judaism. That's what they believe Jesus is. I mean, basically, that they look at him as nothing more than a person who should be in urine, and they have that in an art gallery in Washington, D.C., and this was like 10, 15 years ago. And so the whole destruction of our civilization is part of it is through art, because art, you know, life mimics art, as you know, we hear so often, life mimics art. And so when you have art depicting this debauchery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our culture, through paintings, then our people look at that and they start thinking, oh, that's acceptable. And it's just a total destruction of our morality. And so the general is absolutely right that one of the ways they try to destroy our people and our Christian faith is through art, because they know that our people constantly are looking at it, visualization, not only through our eyes, but our ears, through music, through acting. Art plays a humongous part of the manipulation of our people, and they're very wise at that, and they're very aware of that instrument of way to destroy our culture.
Absolutely. I remember some years ago, there was a crucifix upside down in like a gallon jug of urine, and I think what the Smithsonian Institute, and it was considered great art. And I know this is kind of an aside, but I just wonder if it would raise any eyebrows if we took a big Star of David and put it around a doll and said, this is Abraham. You know, this is the, or this is Saul Alinsky, or this is the Rabbi Waxman, and put the Star of David around it and put it in, on top of a dung heap, up to a hunk of fresh, steaming cow dung. That's the things they do. But you know what? If we would do something like that, they would go ballistic. I'd like to kind of go to something else for a minute here, y'all, you, General, and Jason. I noticed we know, I referenced the January 6th, the peaceful protest we had on January 6th. Well, you know, I see where Biden, this Joseph, President Joseph Biden, has come out recently, and he said that he considered them, what do they call them, insurgents. He's saying, you know, we went for years. Yeah, there you go. Well, he's in, and he, you know, if, and when we go to foreign countries, when I say we, when the military goes to foreign countries, if they go into Iraq, South Africa, wherever, if they're civilians, the populace there resist in any way the almighty power of the United States Army, well, then they're considered insurgents. They're enemies. Well, he's referring to our own citizens here in the United States that object to having their election stolen as insurgents. And he started, you know, knocking the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms to the citizenry. And get this, people, he's hinted, I don't know if you know or not, he came out and said he'd like to remind the people that are patriots that, and he was totally wrong about this, he said that in the first War of Independence before the war started, the citizenry didn't have military-grade weapons. They most certainly did. They had the best they could get. But he said, keep in mind, people, we have F-16 fighter bombers, and we have nuclear bombs. What about that? What about that, General? Do you think that was a threat? Do you think that idiot would actually? Do you think he would nuke Georgia or Mississippi or Texas? What do you think about that?
Well, I think any it's a lose-lose situation. Nuclear war. What can we expect if there's a nuclear exchange, a nuclear winter, the end of mankind? Basically, I think it's a totally irresponsible comment. I don't know, maybe a bit off the topic, but on the same topic that we're talking about to you, the president, is a friend sent me a text, or an SMS message, and I'm not sure what he, I found out that you call, he had a moniker, Sniffy Joe, I think, Joe Biden, Sniffy Joe, because he's sniffing people's hair all the time, and he sent me a text, yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. And this SMS message, I believe it was this. He said, the beast has dominion over the world, and I'm not talking about Sniffy Joe. So the beast, basically, this is, we know who the beast is.
Yes.
But Joe Biden, that was his moniker, I didn't know. I think he has an affinity to sniffing people's hair. We'll see what happens. He may self-destruct in the next 6 months. As for his foreign policy, I'm not an expert, but I think he's shooting it, pointing his rifle in the wrong direction.
You know, we got to go to a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about a little tactic that some of the VC used back in Vietnam. They called it grabbing your enemy by hold of the belt, grabbing him by the belt. Be right back, people.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, I may be running the ground, but I would like to thank our donors again for sending me down there to Pensacola. Matter of fact, the guest we have tonight, Jason Robb, who made a great generation to help me get down there, so I can just thank him right here in the air. I would like to thank him and all the other donors to help me. Without donors, we would have no political cesspool. We would have no Blood River Radio. We have TPC. We would be a Liberty Roundtable. None of this would be out there available, you know, if we didn't have donors. But, you know, General, I was referring, I know the General knows what I'm talking about. You know, we talked about when, and I've heard, I was a medic, but Colonel David Hackworth talked about it. He said that, you know, when you go into fighting some of these guerrillas and stuff, the guerrillas are facing a superior force. It's kind of like a short boxer fighting a tall boxer. You want to get in close where you can get your licks. You get them by the, grab them by the belt where, you know, if they use their artillery on you, you know, they're going to be bringing down artillery on themselves. Colonel Hackworth also said that, in general, you take less casualties, from artillery if you are going charging up the hill toward the artillery than you do down the hill. Now, he was more an expert at that. But the reason I was mentioning getting to that, I know that's kind of my kind of oddball way of saying, I think that that Luciferian president we have, illegitimate President Biden, what he doesn't realize, if he's going to start nuking people in this country, we already have about 5,000 National Guardsmen up there. Is he going to nuke them? Because, you know, if he drops a nuke on those National Guardsmen that are in a parking garage in Washington, D.C., he's going to be dropping it on his own bald head. But that's kind of a rabbit trail. But, General, I was going to go back to something we said in the first part of the hour, the first hour, and I'll get you and Jason to comment on it. You know, it's pretty alarming and depressing what you said about how the Muslims have made a great beachhead there in Eastern Europe, in Vienna. You know, it's what can be done about that? I would say, you know, when we started this radio show 3 years ago, our flagship issue was to stop global white genocide, and our poster child was South Africa, where hard genocide is going on right now. But, you know, we're under such duress here in this United States of America. I don't see how we could help anybody in South Africa or in your nation, General, but if it's possible. If it's possible for people, like, I know you had a friend who was in the 82nd Division once that fought under your command. I think you said he died somewhere in the Mideast. But what could be done? Do you accept volunteers, Christian volunteers? Do you come to the country? And after you answer that, we'll go back to Jason. But go ahead, General. What can we do to help you out there?
Well, actually, as I said before, we're all victims. The general populations are victims of ideological poison. And because I mentioned before, the left, they're master emotional manipulators. And we have to fight them with the truth. People have to go to school boards. Schools are critical. Children must be raised. The family must be as I said, it's a battle. The first target of the Frankfurt School, these Bolshevik Satanists, is the destruction of the family. The family is where you raise children to be responsible, to know their identity, to know their history, not false history. You know, because the right, unfortunately, is woefully inadequate at waging a counterculture war. The leftists have much great experience in this agitprop or disinformation. In the 1920s, Stalin formed an office the Bolsheviks did, basically an office for misinformation. In the word disinformation is one of the subsets of this tactic. And it's difficult because they have the media megaphone. We have to stop the leftist counter narrative. So this is part of this program. If you can reach 10 people, it's like you throw a rock into a lake and you see the water. The word will spread. So part of it is the cultural battle. But we're going to take to the streets here to try some stuff here. We did that before. The worst danger is the fear that the government here will try to tell people what the themes of a referendum will be. In Croatia, we said man, woman, no such thing as same-sex marriages. But basically, it's a battle at the three levels, not just political, but the cultural, and above all, the spiritual. As I said before, several countries are holding out, but the European Union is trying to impose satanic values on all the people in the European Union. Russia's holding out. They're not part of the European Union. So we have to network and work, because we don't have the media megaphone. We don't have the funds. George Soros, the guy that funds Open Society, Open Society is the major social engineering organization, as you know, which is based in New York. And their annual budget is almost $1 billion a year. So people have to get to the roots. They have to go to the school board meetings. They have to organize. They say, no more. We don't want gender to be taught in our schools. Cultural Marxism. We don't want to sexualize our children. We don't want to be idiotized through mainstream media. We don't need any more shills. We don't need people like Greta Thunberg, that little girl that became a mascot of the eco-feminists, to poison our minds, and so on and so forth. This is part of the, as I said, Eddie, this program that you have is part of the solution.
I got you. You know, with that being said, General and Jacob, so Jason, recently, when I'll go back to when President Trump was in office, he called out the National Guard, and he called out the 82nd Division out of Fort Bragg to come into Washington, D.C. to try to keep order and to protect the White House, because the White House was under a great threat of being overrun by, there was a million people coming to Washington, D.C., and the vast majority of them hated Trump, hated the white, the government, hate white people. And there was a direct threat there. Well, President Trump called him in, and I'm getting to a point, the defense secretary and the four-star Army General Milley, I think was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, sent them back. He countermanded the order of President Trump. Well, fast forward, then we got Joe Biden, the president now. We have the military brass doing it about face. This is under my understanding. They're trying to, Jason references this earlier, they're running this Black Lives Matter stuff down, critical race theory. And there are, they've also come out and threatening patriots, people believe in the Second Amendment, people like in groups like me and Jason belong to, like the general belongs to. Jason, and I'll ask you first, and then we'll go to the general. Are we going to see, if we keep resisting, and we're coming under the threats from the White House and from the Luciferian Bushelfix in Washington are getting greater and greater and greater, when they start threatening you with F-16 fighter bombers and nuclear bombs, if we continue to resist, a small group of people, are we going to see, like the general said, there's no freedom without bloody underwear. He's so true, so correct there. Are we going to see fighting in the streets, Jason? Are we going to see bloody underwear?
I mean, I think you're seeing it now just by the fact that every major city where there's non-whites controlling it is basically a third world country. They're not safe for our people or white people. You see that in all your major cities. And so when you have statements by President Biden saying that, you know, the government has F-150s and nuke, it's basically a threat. It's an idle threat to anyone who is countering the agenda of the Marxist crowd. And so it's a threat against, you know, white Americans, you know, people that love and cherish our liberties, our Second Amendment, our First Amendment. It's an idle threat. And so, yeah, I think you're going to see that. But I think you see it just every day when white people are no longer safe in your major cities. They're not safe when they're in a diverse crowd. So I think you see it every day. It's just not on the media. You're not seeing it on the news. But it's already happening in the streets. You know, all these so-called BLM riots that's happening all over the place, it's an attack on white culture. So we already see that. And so I think it's just going to increase more and more. And specifically in America, I think that's why you're seeing more of a balkanization. We're seeing more white people moving to the heartland of America. You're seeing white people moving to rural areas because they're naturally moving to areas where there are like-minded white Christians. And so I think that's what you're seeing being developed. And as it continues, I think you will see more of an increase of an attack on white Christianity.
General Jason just mentioned a balkanization, which breaks in the general knows all too well about balkanization. What part of Jason's statement can you identify with and comment on? Do you think we'll see blood in the streets here other than what we see here? We're in Memphis, Tennessee. If you go downtown in Memphis, Tennessee, the chances, did you know that the odds of you being mugged are one out of every nine people that go downtown where I exercise 3 days a week on the stairs are mugged or attacked by 99 times out of 100. It's a black on white crime. So what about that, General? What was the history in Croatia? Did the military stand against you? I guess that's complicated because there is a bulk of Balkan countries. So go ahead, General.
Well,
we have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we have similarities here in Croatia. We was part of Yugoslavia, communist state. What they first did was they disarmed all the central government disarmed all the territorial defense forces. That would be like in the United States, it would be disarmed all the National Guard. They took all the weapons, and then we had a fight with hunting rifles. They had the artillery, the aircraft. I hope that doesn't happen in the United States. But it sounds familiar. Excuse me. You have in the United States, you're on the verge of social anarchy because you have this gang violence. You have children, 13 years old, executing children 11 years old, and they're black. And Black Lives Matter, well, what's with the gang violence? You know, they're armed to the teeth. And if you lose the First Amendment, freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, then I think America's head is on the butcher block.
I think you're also right. You're so right. I believe it's going to take an act of God to save us. People, we're just about out of time. Jason, would you like to make a final comment? We've got a few seconds left.
I just think that listeners out there, they need to every day when they get up, they need to just continue to dedicate their lives to God. They need to dedicate their lives to this race and this culture and just do that every single day.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you so much, dear General. I'll be getting in touch with both of you gentlemen quickly. My brothers, my dear brother, my dear friend, General, and you too, Jason. Well, good night, everybody. You've been listening to a bang-up show. I've been chasing the General forever and ever and ever, and it paid off to get him here. And Jason was so good to come in and help me out. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week. It'll be the 3rd of July, and we have a surprise for that show over the 4th of July weekend. Thank you, Sam. Thank you again, Jason. Thank you, General. Thank you, Bethany. Good night, everybody.